and start off. As far as I can get from what I've heard so far, we have Renee Swofford, Darren Wakefield, Larry Effington, myself, Jeff Hofstedler, Lisa, and Janice. Is there anybody else that's on the line? Okay, so I just want to start off with a recap of where we were on November the 5th in our conference call there. You'll recall that we did discuss the preliminary report. I'm not going to go through all the things we did, but the key points raised and discussed in that were the disparity of the record keeping with regard to PIA practices, which was one issue that was out there. The other thing is the need for additional resources if there's going to be some changes in training and technology and additional staff. And thirdly, the importance of our ombudsman and the role that the ombudsman plays in making what we have so far a very successful, I believe, our program. So I guess the first thing to do is to call for a vote with regard to the November 5 minutes that were been distributed to everybody. And if I hear a motion, that would be called for at this time. A motion to acknowledge the discussion we had on our preliminary report.
Yeah, to approve those minutes.
Okay, do we have a second to that?
I didn't actually move. This is Jeff. Sorry, I was just clarifying.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was Darren.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so going back, do we have a motion to acknowledge the minutes and approve them?
This is Larry. Motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay. So let's move on now to the final report, which has been circulated to all the members of PIACB board. I hope everybody's had a chance to read and digest. And even if it isn't word for word, because it is an awful lot to consume, but to have read it, become familiar with what is on the table. I think we probably get the most of this out of just by reading the executive summary, which gives us kind of a little view into everything that we have. And I'm not going to go through all of that, but you recall that, you know, the emphasis on what we're trying to do here is create an out-of-court process which can be effective and can be effective particularly when it's considered in line with our ombudsman and the work that is put into that to make this a successful venture. You recall that, you know, we have right now, we have a very limited channel to swim in, so to speak, with the review of the fees of more than $350. And also, you know, the ombudsman person that we have doing this is very capable, but it's just a voluntary action that makes that work. And without cooperative on both sides, that doesn't work. But so far, it's worked very effectively. And I think I saw one statistic that about three quarters of the time we have a successful negotiation And that's only about 25% of the time that we have some issues that are unable to bring a mediation or a mediated issue.
This is Lisa speaking. Can I just interject one gloss on those statistics?
Yeah, please do.
And I mention this only because it's come up in some of the comments, and we felt that perhaps our reporting was not as clear as it should be. The statistics we reported in terms of, 25 or 26% not resolved and likely to go to the board, those were not actually measures of, it was not an attempt by us to determine how many were successfully resolved by the ombudsman where people went away happy, and those that were remaining where things were unresolved and people were unhappy. Rather, we were asking the question whether, if there was an unresolved issue, did we think it was likely to go to the board, given the person or organization we were dealing with, what we knew about the importance of that issue to them, the posture it was in at the end of mediation, and a host of other factors that just seemed to come into play as to whether a party might actually pursue the matter a step further. So the reason I mention that distinction is because, I wish I could claim a 75% success rate. I really do. But in fairness, I can't. It's nothing like that. Really, what we were intending to say only is that in our judgment, only about 25% would be likely to pursue a remedy with the board, not that 75% are happy and fully resolved.
Okay. Yeah, that's.
Yeah. Yeah, and in the final report, we explained that number a little bit more fully.
Yeah. Right. Okay, that's. I'm glad you made that distinction, because I kind of blurred over that.
But. And we weren't as. We admit. I think it's clear we were not as crystal clear about that as we should have been in the preliminary findings, but we will be in the final version of this report.
Right. So just bringing this part of it to a conclusion, I think our goals here, just very. Pulling back the glasses and looking at it from afar, we want to preserve and enhance our ombudsman program. We want to develop an enforcement remedy where none currently exists, since we are just swimming in that narrow channel which I described. And we want to develop a program for the board to go further without involving or without having people forced to either give up on their claim or go to court on their claim, which you can imagine if you had to go to court, you have to get a lawyer, you have to file a case, you have to pay for the filing of a case, you get the rules of discovery come into play, which bogs down most cases. You have to have trials, you have to have mediations, you have to, and if you lose, you have a right to appeal. So you can imagine, just kind of putting this into perspective, if you wanted to get a set of documents, which really shouldn't take that much, but it was, there was a recalcitrant on the part of the possessor of the documents, you could go through all of that, and it would take you a year to try to get just a few documents. And I mean, that's the most ridiculous kind of a, but you could get that kind of a thing, and it involves all of that time, effort, money, etc., just to try to get something which you're entitled to. So, in any event, the long and short of all of this is that there are enforcement recommendations, and I circulated to everybody the proposed changes to the statute, which you should have a copy of, which you can see the expanded the expanded authority of the PIA And I hope everybody got a chance to read that. Now, this morning, even though the deadline was December the 6th for any filing, we received the responses. I mean, we received MACO and MML's comments on the PIA report. And they raised a number of issues which have been responded to by Jeff and his staff. So I wanted to ask, throw that out there and see if there's anything in those comments from MACO and MML and the responses that we have sent to them.
Butch, this is Larry Effingham. In regards to that, my friends in the media have asked the question about the timeliness and the fulfillment. Would the changes have any impact, you know, on that? And I think they suggested that the federal fulfillment is 20 days and Virginia is 5 days. Will the changes have any impact on our 10 and 30?
No, this is Lisa. No, we have not proposed any change to those existing deadlines in the law.
Okay.
One of the reasons, Larry, just to elaborate a little bit, is that the primary problem, you know, as far as timeliness goes, one of the primary problems is that for those agencies that are having problems, they're not able to, they are not, for whatever reason, meeting the existing deadlines reliably. And so we thought that the thing to focus on would be trying to get that ship in order, both in terms of providing an effective enforcement remedy, and two, to focus in on tracking and give them some good examples of how to track better, and three, to emphasize the importance for agencies to advocate. If they need more resources, they need to advocate for those resources.
Okay.
And if they can make some headway on that front, I personally believe that the requester community, including the media, will wholeheartedly support them in their request for resources. But I think one of the things that's lacking is there hasn't been an incentive for them to seek resources because there's no enforcement mechanism.
Good point. Okay, did anybody have any other issues that they wanted to or they see in what's been put before you?
Hey, Butch, this is Darren. I may have misunderstood what you said, but I didn't see any email traffic coming through this morning about a media response. Did I catch you correctly that you said that all happened this morning?
Yes, it came. The media, this submission that they had, yes, was yesterday, came through yesterday afternoon, and a response was drafted. I got a copy. Sure, Jeff sent everybody a copy of what the responses were.
Yeah, Darren, MACO and MML submitted their comments close to 6 o'clock last evening. This morning, I circulated those with our proposed brief responses to you all, and it should have been an email. I'm looking right now. I sent it out around 11:30 this morning, and I sent it to the Darren at darrenwigfield.com address.
Okay, I'll make sure I've got that. Thank you.
Sure. Did everyone else get that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think maybe Darren was the only one that had. So maybe he was assigned to take care of his baby while this thing came through.
Those are the right priorities.
And Darren, I'm forwarding that again to you right now, just so you have it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Do you want me to use another address?
Yeah, could you send it to the Darren at PCLiberty.com?
Yes, I'll do that one.
They should both end at the same place, but I don't know.
Yeah, I just sent it to the PC Liberty one.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
But that did that have a material impact on what we're considering today?
No, it's just the comments and our responses. They didn't bring up any anything that was sort of unanticipated in, I guess, in our report or what we expected for maybe some of their comments to be.
It didn't from my perspective. This is Lisa Darren. From my perspective, it didn't change anything in terms of our substantive recommendations. We did want, you know, given the fact that we're hard on the holidays now and we have an end of year deadline, what we wanted to do was, one, get you the comments, two, give you our kind of quick down and dirty responses to those comments, and if you approve, get your permission to integrate them and incorporate them in the comments section of the final report, which is still a bit of a work in progress.
Yeah, the idea is that you all will have at least substantively everything that will be in this final report, even if we're making sort of some stylistic and formatting changes before it goes out.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Jeff, what do you recommend at this point that we take a vote on approving or not the what we have put before the board?
If there's no sort of additional discussion points, I think that is, I think it would be appropriate to sort of move a vote on proposing the draft final report and the substance therein, and sort of authorizing us to, in accordance with that substance, to finalize that and send it on by the end of the year.
Okay. So do I hear a motion in that regard?
Don't move.
Any second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. So I think that covers what we need to do today. As Jeff said, still a work in progress. If you had any points you wanted to raise or questions, I think if you put them in writing to everybody, so the board can see it, and then we can, that'll help maybe.
Actually, Butch, if I may jump in here, it might be, it's best at this point, if there are substantive comments, to send probably to me individually. Because of the late deadline, I'm not sure there's a chance for the board to meet again. So, if anybody has something that they think is going to be a substantive comment, this would be the time to discuss it, since board action is required, and we need to do that in a public meeting. Otherwise, if there are sort of some less significant substantive or stylistic types of things, yeah, you can just send to me individually.
Okay, well, that begs the question that I'll ask is that, does anybody have any substantive issues that they want to bring forward at this point?
Rich, this is Larry again, and one of the other points that I recall is that was pointed out is that the clarification of the standards for fee waivers. I don't know if there's anything that we can do, along those lines, but again, that kind of stood out in my mind.
Well, what we've gotten right is that this is something that's adjudicated, I think, on a request by request basis, and it depends on what the requester wants, and then what the other side is willing to do.
Yeah, and Larry, our draft bill proposal gives the board the authority to review denials of fee waivers on that case by case basis. And I think we say both in the preliminary findings and in the final report that this would provide the board an opportunity to actually, be able to maybe have a little bit of substantive decision decision material on fleshing out what those factors should be in order to guide agencies in the future and what they should be looking at. So I think they're, you know, I think giving the board that case by case review would allow them to end up actually formulating broader public interest, fleshing out the broader public interest factors to guide agencies in the future.
Okay. Does anyone else have a question that goes to the substance of what we're talking about here? Okay. And if in reviewing this between now and the end of the year, you can, if you want, if you have some ideas with regard to not the substance, but to how you phrase things and things like that, please feel free to call and have that reviewed by Jeff and his staff. Okay, so does anybody else have anything else to bring before the board at this time? Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved.
Second. Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
Thank
you
all.
Happy holidays. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.